Everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more, which is actually an Easter egg. If you get the Patreon, you'll understand what that is. reallifesci-fi.show, all of our links. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. The new EP is called Strangely Familiar. Songwriter, producer, and musicologist, Luxury. With two X's, right? Two X's?
That's it. L-U-X-X-U-R-Y. That's me. Hello.
Hey, man. Thank you for being here.
Having me on your show, Willie and Wade. Wade and Willie.
Of course. So, how into conspiracy theories, paranormal type stuff are you? Is this something that you're interested in, or is it completely outside of your comfort zone?
Wow, it's a good question. I do not necessarily lean into them. I'm intrigued by them. I think when I was a kid, there was this sort of like Leonard Nimoy vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
That stuff was kind of sexy and scary. And I think I get scared easily. So I've not followed that path. No horror movies. You know what I mean? Like, still thinking about the end of Blair Witch. So, sensitive guy.
I'm not a horror movie guy either.
Okay, yeah.
I love horror movies that are so cheesy that you kind of can't get scared, like the Blob remake and Critters.
They're just fun. Yeah, they're just silly. I can get behind that. So I guess the basic answer is I plan to learn a lot today or discover a part of myself that had been heretofore hidden.
Well, first of all, before we get into this, let's talk about your music a little, because Luxury is is that like a DJ name or a stage name? Because you're also in bands, right?
Well, the artist moniker, it's like Luxury with two X's, is just the word I use when I'm making music so I can feel special.
Does it work? I need to feel special.
But not always. I mean, yeah, I've been Baron Von Luxury and now Luxury. All of it is my musical output. I have had other people in the live band, but it's all songs I write and produce. And sometimes I'm by myself. And recently I've been very by myself for the last few years. That's been fun. I've been putting out music. I've done some collaborating, some co-writes, but these days it's all just me.
What was the name of the song you had on Grand Theft Auto?
Not Grand Theft Auto, but I was in Forza Horizon. I had a song called Be Good to Me.
Forza Horizon, yeah.
Be Good to Me.
That's in Forza
4.
And in Forza 5, I have a song called, I've forgotten the name of my own song, but I also have a song in Forza Horizon 5.
Do you love car racing?
Well, I do not love car racing. No. I'm open to. Don't love conspiracy theories. Don't love car racing. But I'm fascinated by conspiracy theories, like the phenomenon of conspiracy theories. I love. Like, I'm fascinated by misinformation and propaganda. Fucking fascinating.
We've like, since we started this podcast, we have entered into a weird new world where it was fun and now it's real.
So that's so interesting that you say, because I have been educated, thanks to some of the people I follow on TikTok, about the phenomenon of paranormal conspiracy theory phenomena being political. The fact of so frequently, like in retrospect, a lot of the stuff, the CIA stuff with the, you know, UFOs, it's come to my attention later in life that a lot of this stuff does have origins in white supremacy or anti-Semitism. So
yeah,
a lot of that's only recently become something I think a lot of people have come to understand.
Yeah, well, because now everything's political and everything's divided. And so, I don't know, we just try and have fun and like do kind of like hopefully innocuous topics, but
non-anti-Semitic ones. That's what we'll work on today.
Okay. We're going to have to throw out like 3/4 of them.
Yeah.
We do something here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
But stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the 5 questions, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade, because I'm the skeptic. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie, because he's the believer. Are you ready to be Wade on the wow scale?
I'm ready.
Here we go. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
That is such a great question. I believe that there is life on other planets. Yes. I'm only just now realizing that because of you prompting the question. Like I said, I had a feeling that your line of inquiry would unlock previously closed doors.
That's what we do here. We open minds. Cool.
So I'm going to go with the answer that, for lack of a better way of putting it, that you tend to hear dumb people use when they answer questions like this, which is, my gut is telling me, you know, I'm not going to go with facts. We're not going to go with science. We're not going to go
there's
with
very little facts.
Sources and in citations. This I feel that Jesus is communicating to me that it has been more than 300 years. That's what I think.
So yes and no.
I feel that way, yeah. Yeah. But not okay. The crop circles. You know what I'm saying? Not Led Zeppelin album covers. It's not that stuff. It's a little deeper. It's a little deeper.
Okay, but you don't think that there's like lizard people in the government?
Definitely don't think there's lizard people in the government, no. And that, that feels extremely anti-Semitic. Not coming from you. I just mean that's the kind of thing that I think were we to untangle it would probably lead to the elders of Zion, like some fucking Henry Ford shit.
Yes, but also racist because they say that about Obama too. So
yeah, so not purely anti-Semitic racism, but many just forms of racism are likely to be
most of racism. All right, question number 2: ghosts.
Okay, I have a story.
Yes, please, please tell your ghost story.
We spent a night on the Queen Mary in the hotel, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I smashed is too strong a word, but I used my pillow forcefully to bash what I felt was a ghost, but it was my wife. But that happened. That's a real story. So clearly there is a part of me that's not convinced that there aren't ghosts, because my subconscious definitely was freaked the fuck out.
But you were also spending a night on the Queen Mary, so you had to book that going like, well, this would be fun, because no one wants to just stay on a docked ship unless it's haunted, right?
So you make a good point. We were definitely primed. You know, there was some conditioning. There is literally, like, we got tickets to the ghost tour. I don't think we had time, but whatever. It is definitely part of the setup. So my subconscious going to sleep was very easily.
But it's a good answer because you're open to it, because a lot of people don't know. And you know, because you were freaked out, you know the answer. It's in your guts. You do believe in ghosts.
Jesus told me to believe in ghosts.
Okay. Yeah. We just had Easter. We're done with Easter. We're done with Jesus. I'm sorry. Are you religious?
I'm a atheist Jew bastard.
Where are you from?
From the Bay Area, from San Francisco. And then way back, parts of what would be considered the Ukraine, but apparently, you know, kicked out of everywhere because of the Jew part. So,
oh, got it.
We don't consider ourselves Ukrainian or Russian, but that's geographically where we once were.
Okay, but San Francisco, really?
But it's really San Francisco. All that sexy foreign stuff is really irrelevant. Yeah.
I mean, who gives a fuck? I'm like a mutt. I have no idea where I'm from. Colorado is my answer.
You don't have any awareness of what came prior to that?
Like, no. Well, Scottish and Irish, you know, just general fucking white people shit.
Okay.
Question number 3, Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot feels pretty hoaxy. It feels hoaxy, but I will say this. It does also feel like sort of archetypal, like Joseph Campbell-y. Like it does seem to find its way into many parts of the world. You know, there's the Yeti, right?
And there's Bigfoots everywhere. The Yeren,
basically every culture has a version of it.
So that's interesting, but I don't think it necessarily proves its existence. I think it's just You know, we need answers to what was that thing that moved that was far away that we sort of saw in the distance, you know?
Yeah. You know, he's right there. Do you see Willie's screen? I do. Right. Yeah.
Every time I take Moose to see a dinosaur museum, did the whole world find these bones and then just make up dragons? Or you know, we don't have dragon bones, but I'm just like, they found these skeletons, like, oh, this is what a dragon looked like, not knowing dinosaurs. I'm like, is that what happened? Did the whole world?
I see. That's your dragon theory, is like dinosaur bones. But
that's what has been put in front of me. And I'm just like, I don't think everyone thinks that's the way it is. But also, you know, we used to make Tyrannosaurus Rex stand up real high. So this
exercise was set up that you're the believer. So do you believe in Bigfoot and the Yeti?
Oh, yeah. I lean towards him being interdimensional, but I do believe that there are creatures in the woods all over the world.
And that they identify as he, him? This is a male?
I've heard of male and female.
Penile. Okay.
Penile. They gotta fuck, dude. They have to fuck.
Or maybe, yeah, I mean, if there's more than one.
Yeah, unless there's only one. Then I guess he doesn't...
My defense is like the orangutan was a myth for a long time until they found one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But when was that?
Without just my bad memory, probably the 20s.
There were no...
You know, when those guys with the hats were like going around, you see them in movies, they're wearing those hats. The pit, you know, like the guys from a Jungle Cruise.
Speaking pompously up to the natives.
Yeah, those motherfuckers. Trying to move that boat over the hill and shit.
whoa, I'm way off. 1758. Okay, go on.
What are we talking about? What's 1758?
Orangutan was discovered.
Oh, shit. That's pretty early, man.
The 20s were pretty early, too. So that's my defense.
just like 180 years later. Psychics, what are your thoughts?
Definitely. Okay, hold
really?
On.
Really? Do you partake?
Hold on. No, well, my initial instinct was I was getting the visual of, like, you know, you walk down the street and there's like the front window of a with a neon
with the hand,
you know, Pee-wee's Big Adventure kind of shit. Like, that's sure. I'm trying to tease apart what has been you know, ideas that I've received without thinking. So, yes, in popular culture, they're always liars. They're always taking your money. It's always a scam, right? Mm-hmm. However, is there such a thing as energy and frequencies and connections that are communication that's nonverbal between people? Yes, I do believe that. I do believe there's a vibration. I've had the experience of sensing somebody around without knowing or hearing that they were there. I do believe that there's a lot more than meets the eye, basically. So I'm open to the idea that somebody who is tuned to that frequency might be able to pick up on vibes, for lack of a better word. It's a terrible.
No,
word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there might, I think it's possible. I don't think, though, it gets to the specificity of, you know, put all your money in Truth Social.
Ooh, you know, three quarters will fall from your pocket on Tuesday, March.
I think that may be where I, you know, that may be where I tune out. But not nothing.
You believe in the possibility of it.
I believe in the possibility that some people might be tuned into frequencies about other humans. Sensitivity. Basically, we're talking sensitivity. Like, we all know people who maybe we call them on the spectrum who are the opposite, who kind of don't pick up on social cues, right? This might just be the other end of that spectrum where they're attuned
to social
cues.
That's a good description.
That, like, very tiny events or lack thereof are more momentous to them, like an eyelash flick or something might have significance, you know? So that seems plausible to me.
Who's on your American flag back there?
That's my queen and yours, Nicki Minaj.
I didn't recognize her without the butt.
She has a butt. It's just lower in the image.
All right, last question.
Okay.
Do you believe in simulation theory? Have you heard about simulation theory? We all live in a simulation. It's kind of matrixy based, but it's, you know, not as cheesy.
So when you say that, it intuitively, I don't need to, like, I'm sure there are plenty of people out there. I'm sure there are plenty of TikTokers proving it in some way on my FYP right now. But I will say that that is a very intuitive, I think, human idea. I remember being a child and having a moment where I said to my mom in the car, age five or so, like really young, how do I know this isn't just being set up for me? How do I know that when I go to sleep, it doesn't all go away, like when I close the refrigerator door, like the light.
Right. Truman Show narcissism.
I mean, you just nailed it. It is narcissism. It is benign narcissism, by the way, because as has been explained to me by my therapist, narcissism as a spectrum is a really important concept, because narcissism, like to an extreme, is unhealthy to the person and everyone around them. Yeah. I've just been experiencing that. It's funny. Every now and then there's somebody who comes into my Instagram comments who's, sometimes if someone comes in with a take that's different from mine, like I'll engage with it if it's done with normalcy, with like some kind of like, you know, I actually think you might consider, or even, I'll even go so far as if someone comes in and is like, nah, I don't think that's right. But they've got some kind of mitigating sentence in there that it's not all like this nah-ness. But there are some people that come in with just absolute, nah, and you're stupid and I hate you. And like that happens sometimes. And my first thought is to think about how narcissistic that is and to have empathy for them, because I can't fathom doing that in a million years to anyone. I cannot imagine going to a stranger's feed and commenting, you're a fucking dummy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That to me is an expression of really deep, not benign narcissism. Anyway, connecting it to what you just said, I agree with you. I think that there is a normal human narcissism, which is playing with this idea of like, hey, when I'm alive, I'm only ever seeing what I'm seeing. I'm only ever hearing what I'm hearing. And like, that's normal. And it requires some effort. That's what babies do, right? And over time, if you have some normal natural development, you start to develop empathy and sympathy and patience for listening and all these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just took your idea and overly, you know, explained it. I think
No. That all being said, this instinct that we have about existence, do you think we live in a simulation?
You're bringing it back to the question, which is fair. I do and I don't. I don't think we live in a simulation, because that implies there's a simulator. Like it's basically a deist or theist implication at the end of it. Like somebody made either somebody made it, or the Star Chamber made it, or the Cabal, or the Anti-Zionist League of you know, West Mississippi or whatever the frick. So I don't believe that it's a constructed, but yes, I mean, it's literally, we are like, the world is dark, you know, the light only exists because we're interacting with light in our eyes and the sign, like, so in a sense, it is a simulation. It is, the three of us have individual narcissistic experiences that conform to the idea of a simulation, but then it ends for me when it's like, and it was set up by the Jews. Like, that's where I draw the line.
That's the whole thing. And it's an astute observation. And that is the one thing about simulation and religion, because basically just a different religion, right? Where it's just like trying to explain what the point of this all is. And some people are like God and other people are like, well, no, it's simulation.
Yeah. If it's a simulation, you've automatically presumed that there's somebody who's controlling it and whose interpretation we need to defer our own interpretation to. And that's where the connection to religion is. You just,
right.
I see the connection right there. That's what religion, it adds to the storytelling. Only I can control the story. You know, that's Scientology brilliantly is like a caricature of that, where like the scripture of Xenu is in a filing cabinet on Hollywood Boulevard, right? So like, it's the same idea that only I have this information and you're insulting me by asking me about it, right? When they're interviewed about it. Like, that's offensive to my religion when you say the word Xenu.
All right, so we're going to go no on that. Yes on psychic, yes on ghosts, 2 out of 3. So you're like, I think you're kind of down the middle. You're like a, no, you're more, I think you're more of a 4. Really? I think you're like a 4.
Really? That's so much higher than I've expected.
Well, it's not,
it could be 3.
It's a weighted scale. Differences. Yeah,
it's a very bad scale and nobody likes it. No, nobody agrees with it.
It's weighted in Willie's favor.
Kind of. The last one is me. I believe in simulation.
You do?
Because you said no, that's why you're higher on it.
Wait, sorry. You believe in simulation?
I do. I believe because I don't, because I'm not religious, and because it's proven that like positive energy, like prayer works, but I don't believe in God.
Okay.
And so we're kind of manifesting things, and I don't know how else we would do that.
And in the same parallel, like string theory and quantum theory suggest that particles are affected by us paying attention to them. So that's a weird thing. We're like, I believe in that, that our existence is similar to a simulation style, but I do not believe in simulation theory.
Interesting. Wait, but Wade does believe in simulation theory?
Yeah. See, that's why the scale is confusing, because most of the questions are Willy questions, but the last one is a Wade question. And that's why you're a 4 instead of like a 2.
Wow. That's interesting. And I agree with all the things you both said right now, because I agree that attention impacts the subject of the attention, or the object, I guess it would be the attention, right? I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I recall the Heisenberg principle. Is that kind of what that is about? Like watching the subject changes the experiment?
The slit experiment, Schrödinger's cat.
Schrödinger's cat. So all of this is kind of in the same kind of conceptual word cloud of like, we impact each other even if we're not touching each other.
Yeah, man. And that's why maybe rethink Bigfoot, because maybe he exists, but no one's paying attention to him.
If he falls in the forest, does he stub his toe? Go
out. If he falls in the forest, does a tree make a noise?
If he falls on a
tree. If Bigfoot farts in the forest, is there a noise?
Does a bear shit in the woods? That's something my grandma used.
That we can all agree on. No.
Actually, that was her way of saying sarcastically.
Yes. Yeah.
The other one was, is the Pope Catholic? Those are like some 30s expressions, I guess.
That was the precursor to duh. Yeah.
Before that, is the Pope Catholic?
All right. Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, intelligent life in the universe. And when we discover it on another planet, what message should we send them? What should we bring up? We've done this 3 times in the past, and it just seems too heady. What should we come up with? And what message should we send new intelligent life when we find it tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi?
One photograph is my answer. One photograph, and that's John and Yoko in bed.
Much context.
Yeah. What's the contextualization of that? I mean, because
don't know.
My initial answer is just the message. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're all cucks. We're all beta cucks.
So in the past, we've sent out messages. There was the Arecibo message, 1974. Arecibo is this satellite that one of these big satellites. This was the message that we broadcast out into space. Carl Sagan and some Cornell University people put together. That was this binary code that when you put it together, it came up with the number system 1 through 10, atomic numbers of the elements, hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus. These are the things that make up DNA.
Proudest achievements.
Yes. And ultimately, you know, the rest of the message, it kind of was not a message to send out to intelligent life. It was kind of like our achievements. You're right.
I was like, look what we've done.
Yeah, it's Truman Show.
What have you done? It's Truman Show. What format is this in? Is this like an object or an audio signal? Or
This was an audio signal that they sent out. Yeah, basically, I believe it was basically Morse code digital message that if you put it together, it would map out all of these things, which also had like the solar system. Earth was on it.
Here's what I don't understand about that. Like, is binary a fundamental building block to communication? Or like, why would we assume that binary would be a thing?
It's the same way that we assume like intelligent life would have radio. And so it's funny because they even sent this out to scientists before they sent it out to see if they could figure out what this was. And most of them couldn't. Most of them couldn't figure it out.
No shit.
Which, but we
this
still
is like the 70s. You said Carl Sagan, so it's like the 70s?
Yeah, 74.
It's like a duel is our Western culture is, you know, we're considered dualist insofar as we think that way, off, on, black, white, day, night. But Eastern culture, this is like a super oversimplified thing from high school teaching. So I'm sure I received the like condensed version and more has been built culturally. But the idea that, you know, in Eastern culture, there's like the yin yang as a perfect representation of how, oh, there's a little bit of the white in the black, isn't there? Mm. A little bit of black. So it's non-dualism, meaning there's ambiguity and change and uncertainty, right? So
yeah.
To your question about binary, yeah, that is very Western-centric.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so, like, shouldn't we do Sanskrit or something? I mean, like, shouldn't we do, like, the earliest known language? Like, binary seems like a puzzle. It doesn't seem like an entry point, you know?
Well, and I've brought this up before without being able to explain it, and I might not be able to explain it now either, but some people suggest that the earliest alphabet was created from noises, you know, om, ah, different vibrational frequencies. And so these frequencies exist, and so maybe the alphabet is based on, yeah, frequencies that we hear. And so the universe gave us the alphabet.
I see. Like music, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, and that's what
are one half the, like, you know, 440 cycles a second for middle, for A, I guess it is, right? And so 880 is the next, you know, there's,
I don't know. I'm checking your math on that. I don't think that's A.
440.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. 440 is what we have decided in Western music is A, but there was a previous time when it wasn't 440, but it's just so everything is tuned the same. We've arbitrarily decided 440, but there are people that do 432. That's like a thing. I worked with a musician who insisted that everything be tuned to 432.
Is that like 24 frames a second versus 30 frames a second? Is it just a matter of like kind of taste, or did you just deal with one weirdo?
To me, it's not, it wasn't, he's a great dude and his name is Major.
No, he's a weird, you can call him a weird, he's a Major?
His name is Major, and we worked briefly together, and that was, in that moment, he was really studying frequency, literally frequency and vibration. In fact, all the stuff I said earlier, I kind of got from him when we were working together. I was very intrigued by he brought that notion into my consciousness, the idea of communication being about literally frequency and vibration, literally like the mathematical sine curve. And like, I think he was onto something. So I've been playing with that ever since. But he actually also applied that to music in that he found that the 432 kilohertz, I guess it is, frequency of A, tuning your instrument to that rather than the global standard, or at least the Western standard 440. I mean, that's beyond me. But there are people that study that and do that with great seriousness that I have no reason to not respect.
That was almost the topic tonight. It's just too much work and it's too much talking. And so the 432.
Who would want talking on a podcast?
Well, oh gosh. I mean, the 432.
I know exactly what you mean. Wait, but I want to ask you something. Like, I don't know if you're pitch perfect or whatever, but can you give me an A and then the other A?
Oh, I'm far from pitch perfect, but here's A. I don't know if you can hear that in the room. It's also like a weird synth.
It's an electronic cat.
Meow. It's a robot cat.
If I were to play you a 432 instead of a 440 version of that, you'd be like, it's the same. Like, it's not enough to really tell the difference. But
so it really is just like almost a language thing. It's like the difference between Italian and Spanish or something.
But when the vibrational frequency energy of it is the difference. And so 432 enthusiasts say that this is the frequency of the universe and it matches more with the cymatics. So.
But it's really
the human body and the how we experience it, because we react differently to different notes and sounds and frequencies. So that's plays into it perfectly what Willie does.
So you worked with this guy and you made a whole song or album with him, right? With this different tuning. Did you notice anything inside yourself, like any different vibrations where you're like, this feels better?
I didn't spend enough time on it to experience what was probably available to me. So it's not like, no, I didn't, I didn't hear it. I didn't feel it.
You just don't know.
It's not there. No, I not only didn't I not spend enough time with it, the fact that this person whose music I respect, he's really extremely talented. He's a great, go look him up, M-A-E-J-O-R. He's on Spotify with millions of plays and really cool dude and just super interesting guy. The fact that he took it seriously to me made me go, this is worth taking seriously. Like, this isn't some crazy, you know, conspiracy theory. Although I wouldn't be surprised. I keep picturing this TikTok person that's been popping up recently that you may have seen too. It's this like white woman with braids who's singing about like the pyramids in Peru, and she's just terrible, like absolutely cultural appropriating, like just the worst of the worst. And perfectly to our conversation, she seems in a millisecond like the type of person who would get her, you know, $20 moon juice, go to yoga class and practice and pontificate and spread a lot of what would end up being white supremacist theories unknowingly, just propagating them without thought. But it's possible that 432 might have also been in her arsenal. You know what I mean? Like, so these theories
are
into the wrong people's hands, but I wouldn't say that makes the concept itself, tarnished.
To me, it seems a little academic. Like you said, I wouldn't even be able to hear the difference, but
you might.
I guess.
I mean, it is different. Yeah.
I mean, I do have perfect pitch. You can quiz me at any time.
There are people out there that will play versions of songs that are 440 and 432.
Yeah.
I find that sometimes you connect more to the 440 because that's what you grew up listening to. And so it's like, oh, this feels more natural. And so you're not, you can't actually feel it through your computer anyways. It's like the vibration.
It's insane to me that this is actually a thing that you know about. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. So this topic is, what would we send? And like, my first thing, not just because you're a musician, I thought music would probably be the thing to send into space.
It's so creative. Yeah. It's like,
well, and there's so much feeling, right? I mean, like you can send like a video, but like, you know, if an autistic person, nothing against autistic people, but like if you sent a video of something, they wouldn't pick up on the subtleties that we would, right? And so like, who knows if aliens are, but like, I feel like music is a little more universal, right?
Sure. So like, what would the music be? Because
I think it's got to be Bloodhound Gang. One of the Bloodhound Gangs. It's got to be Bloodhound Gang.
The booty song. By the way, I was just typing it in out of curiosity. So there is on Spotify 8 hours of 432 hertz healing frequency music for deep sleep and relaxation. I mean, that might be a good answer right there. Like, let's send some 432 stuff.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Listen, the geometry and mathematics of music. So in the past, we've got the Arecibo message. In 77, Voyager 1, Voyager 2, we sent out a golden disc that had instructions on how to play it.
Or a replica of it, yeah.
And in that, they had Sounds of Earth, and they had music on there, selected music.
Oh, I didn't know they had Sounds of Earth. Was it like parrots and shit?
But yeah, different animals and whatnot, like that, you know, and 90 minutes of music of Eastern and Western, just a variety.
So just basically a YouTube falling to sleep playlist.
I know. And I love the idea of the instructions on how to play the gold disc. Okay, well, any intelligent civilization will see that this is the...
Did you need a needle to play that?
They sent a needle.
Okay. So you could scratch it. You could do it. You could do it on your own. You could just move it.
And for those of you who haven't seen the first Star Trek movie, spoiler alert, the movie is based on some intelligent entity finding the disc and trying to send the answer back. So it's pretty cool.
Are they nice in the movie? I haven't seen it.
It doesn't matter if they're nice or not. They accidentally destroying things on the way back, sending this thing back to us.
They don't need to reinvent the wheel. Maybe they had the idea right back in 79 or whenever that came
out. Right? It's fucking amazing. In 2022, they updated the binary message, and they have this like 13-page binary message that they want to send out, you know, 2022. But if you look at it, the binary, when you put it together, it looks like 1990s computer drawings. And I'm just like, we're still.
What do you mean the ASCII thing or whatever?
Like, there's like
the dot matrix where you can use eyes to make like.
There's a guy and a girl Gordon drawing, Ramsay. Put standing next to each other. And it looks so rudimentary.
They sent
it's lame.
Why would they?
I don't know. I didn't read what they did with it, but that was the updated binary message. And I'm like, I don't know how the topic isn't. How we should send it out. Cause I, you know,
fuck that. We're not scientists. Who knows?
But if you look at that,
let's send a Picasso. That would really fuck them up, dude.
I feel like the problem is we're having all these intellectual scientists coming up with this shit instead of just like, what the fuck should the message be? I do like the,
who would be the guy? Who would be the artist? Who would be the person that you trusted with sending? If Prince weren't dead, let's do, alive or dead, who would be the person that you would trust to send a message into the cosmos?
I mean, sadly, I would say Carl Sagan, but he's kind of struck out twice.
Let's write the song together right now.
Okay. The song that we're going to send. Okay. Let's do
from outer space. You motherfuckers. We fucked up and we're sorry, but that is not our fault. We're just three podcasters, not our fault. Just three podcasters, not our fault. So don't blame us.
Don't trust us.
Don't trust us. And then get into us threatening them for not liking us, too.
What's the okay? Threatening. Okay.
Yeah. So like chord change there, minors maybe, and just like we will destroy you.
Actually, you know what? If you guys could help with the lyrics, then we'll collaborate on this thing. We will destroy what do you.
Yeah, we will destroy you. Willie, what's a rhyme for we will destroy you?
We will destroy you if you don't watch out.
We will employ you.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna fuck your shit up. Cause you don't have enough potatoes. And we've got too many.
Yum, yum, drinking water all day.
Do you guys have water? Cause we seem to need it to survive. Wait, are they in the future?
No, right? they're present.
They're
present.
In the past.
They're in the past, I think, because we're sending it.
Right, they're in the past. Wait, are they in the future if we're sending it and they're hearing it now?
I think they're in the future, but once they hear it, they're in the past.
I think I was just playing a U2 song, by the way. I think I figured out what that was.
Is it getting better?
That's the one.
Yeah. U2.
Well, shit. I mean, should we just send you two?
One laugh. That's the one, right?
That is the one. Should we just send that song? Did we just discover the ultimate universal song?
Not the same.
The song is called One by U2. Wait, One by U. This is perfection.
Everything about it is perfect. Wow. Except for then Bono would be even more insufferable.
Wow. That's all right. As long as we get our potatoes and our water, that's all we need to survive.
But if he knew that we were doing that, if he knew his song was going into space, I mean, Jesus.
Podcast. Yeah.
He might get taller. He might end up a little bit taller. I would say
sunglasses might get bigger.
The hardest thing is that at the heart of most people on Earth, I would assume, they want to do good things. But the people in charge are making all the decisions. So, like, that's why we have to send the message instead of having the higher ups being involved in this process.
Right. Oh, we can't delegate to those.
We have to let them know that we don't trust our leaders or our system of life.
But like, how are we going to do that? Because like, I don't have a spaceship. Do we need a spaceship?
Well, that implies that we need bodily to be in a different place, when in fact, this may just be when pure consciousness comes into the picture. Because when we expire, another easier example is like, I love the idea that our entire body regenerates, what is it, every seventh year? Like the
7 years, remaining, yeah.
The last remaining giant bone, you know, we got skin and fingernails come first. And then by the seventh year, you are literally a completely different group of cells than you had been 7 years prior, right? I love that idea.
Right. I love it too.
That just proves the point that we are consciousness and everything else is a delusion. Even mm-hmm. the consciousness is a delusion, but that's, we won't go there. So no, you won't need a spaceship because you just beam the consciousness. We will express the consciousness.
It's crazy because that sounds crazy, but I trust that more than sending out a binary message. I'm like, if we could come up with some sort of message that we could project into the universe, that I feel like that's more readable than,
like, I don't want it to be like we love everyone, because we definitely don't. We can't get along with anyone down here. Like, really, the only reason we want aliens to show up is so that we have someone else to fight.
Growing up, I always felt like, because I, you know, I've always not liked the way the world has worked, and I've always felt like they'd be a savior. And it's a weird thing, because to me, I parallel that with destiny. If you believe in destiny, if you believe that aliens might save us, it kind of makes you sit back and do nothing about what you dislike. It makes you act less. And
yeah, but you could say that about anything. Like, if you believe in fate, then don't look for a job because a job will come to you type stuff. You know what I mean?
But in the same vein, manifesting, I do believe in that. But like, it's really like focusing on what is good for you. You know, you can't just ask for money. You got to ask for a means to make that money or project.
Yeah,
that.
But that's like the kindergarten version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's just going like money.
In this conversation. I know it's just,
yeah. Like, get your head back into the abyss of consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it. Willie, you just said it. I mean, you said a bunch of shit that didn't mean anything, which is exactly what billionaires don't do, right? Like, they don't think in those terms.
Let's just make it smaller, right? When, I find pleasure in this, and it also saddens me that I do. There's this Christian guy who found this tribe that has not interacted with modern world, and he went to go send the message of Jesus to them, and they killed him.
Of course.
Good.
As they should.
Yeah.
I think we all.
And I'm like, that is a great parallel. That. Like, what are we going to say to them?
Well, I don't think we're going to
proselytizing.
Yes, exactly. Well, we just.
That's a word you read but never say.
Dude, I
proselytizing?
Was going to say the exact same thing as you, but I didn't know how to say it. So I'm so glad that you tried and failed to say
it. I pummeled.
That I didn't have to.
Willie, how would you say proselytizing?
Proselytizing.
It's fun when you say a word that you've known for decades, and it's the first time it's ever coming out of your mouth. That's sort of cool. That's special. Special.
But that's the difference, is we wouldn't be doing that. We're not going to them. We're waiting for them to come, and we're just going like, here's what we're all about. And the question is, what is it that we are all about? Like, that's the question.
Here's the side thing, is that, like, so recently this James Webb telescope found... You know, sure, we've heard of the Dyson Sphere? Is that what it's called? Is it Dyson?
Well, the Dyson Sphere is the thing that encompasses the planet and gives unlimited energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we felt like we may have found those once. And now with the James Webb telescope, they're like, oh, we found these planets that have lights coming off of them. And we've also found these planets that, like, signals are coming off of them. Is this intelligent life sending out messages through light energy or whatever? And so, like, as our technology gets better to view of the universe, when we've found so many planets in the Goldilocks zone, you know, and it's just like, what happens when we find some other life out there?
I got the perfect message to send out into space, and I'm stealing this from billboards. If you lived here, you'd be home by now. Why didn't we just say that? And that way the aliens are like, oh, they're cool. Like, we could live there.
I think one by you two. I think we peaked when we had that.
No, I think you're right.
I do love that. I will say my mind is saying, like, what if we ask a question like, is your planet dying? And if not, can we move in? Like, that says so much.
We have a lot of movies about that, don't we? And they never end well.
I don't even like helping my friends move. I doubt that aliens are going to want to make us or help us move to their planet.
That's not going to end well. Let's let let's let Elon be first in line to try it. You know, you can be on the front lines of learning.
Wait, that's a really good idea. Let's let Elon fuck it up.
Yeah.
Remember Mars Attacks?
Yeah.
Exactly.
He'll just be the first guy that gets fucked up.
Well, also, what was the one that came out during the pandemic? The Don't Look Up, that Adam McKay one?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. And yeah, it happens there too. That's a trope. We think they're nice, but they're not nice.
Is there has there ever been a movie where they are nice?
I would say Contact.
Or the Amy, what's her name? Amy Adams. I don't know. You guys know.
Yeah, there's something about the message or something. Yeah.
No, it's not about the message.
Scientologists, or that's a different Amy Adams movie.
Is Amy Adams a Scientologist?
Arrival.
No, she's in that movie, the Master.
Oh. Well, that's cool because it skewers Scientology.
Actually, for the sake of this conversation, Scientology might be the way to go because that is predicated on blending science fiction with belief and conspiracy. All the conspiracy stuff. So
it's funny that you say that because Willie and I, for the life of this podcast, have been toying with the idea that we will start a new religion and Willie will be the
you wouldn't be the first the it's guy. A idea for a reason. Yeah.
And it does all this, all these aliens and all this mythology. They are real and they exist. And Willie is the Jesus or
guess
whatever.
What? No more taxes. Right?
Yeah. First thing to go is taxes. Second thing, abortion. Sorry. I'm joking. Abortions for all.
And women can stay for a little while longer. Yeah.
For a little while. Yeah. We'll see.
When do dolphins get a vote? When do octopi get a vote? Like, why?
Oh, dude,
why are religious men so afraid of women? Like, that cliche, I mean, that it just finds its way into the accuracy of what happens in all of these, you know, fundamentalist preacher messages and Christian nationalism, like, all why are they all at the end of the day terrified? Like,
if
what
you
did their
ask
mothers
me,
do to them? What
if you ask
to
me,
them?
It is because the woman has the power of giving life.
Yeah,
and that is something that just men can't do. So like they,
it's
you know, you
it's inadequacy.
Egyptian matriarchal society has been erased so much that like people don't even believe that they were matriarchal.
I didn't know that.
My question is, why do women still subscribe to it? Like, what are they thinking? I guess it's brainwashing, right? Like, they don't know.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's another part of my TikTok feed. I have a lot of conspiracy theorists, a lot of crowd work clips, and definitely no small number of like women who have left, you know, or people in general who have left abusive religious, you know, existences and like, you know, escaped basically. So I was recently, one woman was talking about how there's like a voice, I've forgotten what it's called, but there's like a very high-pitched submissive tone that a lot of these wives of Christian fascistic men, like, it, you know, so whether it's implied, it seems like the kind of thing one learns without being taught. So like a lot of these women in these situations have this voice, again, as it was described to me by a woman who had once been in an abusive marriage / religious situation. But like, I found that so fascinating that it applies like to characteristics, like how one speaks. That was so interesting to me.
Well, yeah, no. And I think it's like, it comes from, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like that sister wives sort of like,
right. Submissive.
Oh, well, yeah,
you never raise your voice. It's like a little girl kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's completely learned and it's completely sociological for them, because that's the way women talk in that society, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. You're right. So like for them, it's a belonging thing, and it's osmosis. They're all doing it.
Yeah.
So you gradually when you.
Yeah, it's not an affectation. It's their mother did that and then they grow up. And
when I go to DC, which is not that Southern, but I went to school there, like I do start to adopt a little bit more of a lilt, and I'm not doing it. It's what everyone else is doing a little bit. So you just sort of pick up on it. So yeah, that is a human tendency. Which
I think, if you really want to break it down, like when you get to that level of like speaking like other people speak around you, that's just survival, right? That's just like, I'm not different than you. Please don't kill me.
Oh, you're right. You don't want to be the outcast from
the group. Yeah.
Right.
It's like the duck with the dot on its head and the other ducks pick it the fuck to, they just kill it.
Yeah. Yeah. Duck. You know what's weird about, the flip side of us sending out a message into space is I often think about if intelligent life ever arrived here and wanted to speak to us, who are they going to speak to? For us, it's just like always someone who's in charge, whether it be politics or religion. And I'm just like, that is just not a voice that like I believe in.
I like that.
Well, but Willie, I mean, like you're just talking about democracy at that point. And if we've already elected this person, as bad as they are, that was the choice we had. Like who else would do it? I mean, like we're not going to do another election.
If we could get a bunch of people from different countries together to agree on something, maybe we could supersede any government and be like, this is the message.
Well, it's going to be whoever has the most people in their country. China's going to win. It'll be a Chinese guy. You have a very romantic version of the way that this would go down. And it's just never going to, it's never going to be Bob Dylan. You know, it's always going to be Donald Trump. Like, it's not going to be poetry. It's going to be whoever had the most money to win an election at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they get there too early, you know, maybe these aliens would be wearing Prada or something, you know, like, hey, we've already talked to some people.
It would save a lot of problems if the aliens were very materialistic and loved our brands.
Right. The hope would be that some people would meet with some of their people below the leadership on both ends.
Yeah. Like I said, it's romantic. Like, how would we do that?
We have to get lucky with like,
that's what protests
an empathetic billionaire. Does that exist?
Fuck no.
They got billionaire status from their empathy. Yeah. No.
Can you imagine becoming a billionaire by having empathy?
Like if Mother Teresa said, hey, just give me a dollar. If she could have a Patreon,
then she's just a mega church leader.
The wealth sociopath correlation is unfortunately too strong for that to work.
I mean, it's the only thing. Yeah. Listen, my choice is one. Is it just called one? Let's just one sing love. It all together. Okay. Let's sing it all. It's not called one love, is it?
One. Wait. Well, it's very out of tune, but who cares?
Wait, one start with love. The verse. Start with the verse.
Is it getting is it better? Getting better? That's the only part I know.
Wait, I think I might know it. Or is it something else?
Yes.
I don't know it.
Accurate. I mean, the lyrics are available to all of us through our...
Jesus.
What's in there?
Do you happen to have any change?
Does it... Too late tonight.
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 Babadi.
Wait, I got it.
Babado.
But we're not the same. We got to carry each other. And we'll do it again. One. Good remix. I feel like. We should just release this. Now do Freebird. pooing on the floor now, babe. You're a bird of paradise. Cherry ice cream smile. I suppose it's very nice. The chorus, you're gonna join in, right? Step to the left and step to the right. You catch the mirror way out west. You know you're something special, and you look like you're the best. Here we go. Her name is Rio, and she dances on the stage like that river drifting through. And when she shines, she really shows you all she can. Rio, Rio, dance across the Rio Grande.
This is awful. If this is what this is what we said,
we're doomed.
We're doomed.
Was the timing crazy for
the
you?
Timing the timing was insane.
We're all on different time zones.
Oh my god.
We're probably going to keep cutting each other out.
A song over fucking Zoom, man. You can't do it.
We've learned something tonight.
Sounded good to me, but it did not sound good to you.
No, it was all over the place. I loved it. I loved it. listen, Blake, thank you. Luxury. Let me get the EP is called Strangely Familiar. What's different about Strangely Familiar than your previous work?
Well, I have recently, after using like literally bass guitar has been an important part of the songwriting. Like I like the sound of a live bass, but recently I've just been like, you know what? I don't want that right now. I want pummeling Giorgio Moroder sounding like Donna Summer, I Feel Love, you know, or Call
Heck
Me Like Wendy.
Yeah.
Like synthesizers to play the bass lines.
Hell yeah.
That's been driving me recently. So it's been fun because it's like a whole new area to explore.
Great, so, man. And Donna Summer's like drum lines impress me so much.
Giorgio Moroder is my guy. He's this German producer who made those songs.
Yeah, we were both in a show called Yacht Rock. We know who Giorgio Moroder is.
Okay. Well, if you like him, you'll like fiction my movie. Buy Luxury with two X's, L-U-X-X-U-R-Y. Strangely Familiar.
Strangely Familiar. And then what's your podcast? We haven't mentioned that.
It's called One Song with Diallo Riddle and Luxury. And every week we break down a song.
One song. So amazing. If you are a fan of music, you'll love every single thing that they do. It's just remarkable. Like, you know, I've always thought that I was a train spotter back in the day. Like, oh, I know this. This is from this. This is from this. And like, when they break down these samples, it's like, holy shit, this came from this.
It's so fun. We love it. We love doing it every week. We talk about, like, we just did a double episode, or sorry, two parts on Daft Punk. We just did Bob Marley jamming. We just recorded today, actually. It's a lot of podcasting in one day for me. Today we did...
I'm so sorry.
We did Radiohead, Creep. We did Rihanna, Umbrella. So it's a lot of big songs, but we also do like Yeah, Yeah, Yeah's, Maps. We did Massive Attack. It's all over the place, genre and, you know, size of artist-wise, but these are songs that we love and we'll just... listen to the isolated stem, so just the vocals, and talk about it, just the drums, just the bass. As Willie said, we talk about connections, like some samples. Today we did De La Soul's Buddy from 3 Feet High and Rising, so a lot of sample spotting today. You'll love this episode, Willie.
Damn. Comes out. I have a question.
Yeah.
Tribe Called Quest, there was four members, but what did two of them do? Because there's Q-Tip and there's Fife, and then what did the other two guys do? Right.
There's Jairobi and the fourth name is
it's a very Muslim name. It's a bunch of like
the core group. You're right. Q-Tip is clearly the like guiding force.
I mean, he does the beats. He does his verses, and then like Fife does verses. I just don't know what these other two guys do.
I believe one of them was like the DJ live, and I can't remember if that was Jairobi. This is something we could answer if we just bothered to Google it, so it's not that far.
No, we're live, man.
We'll just make it up. Let's just make up answers. Just,
everyone's all in their phones now.
But I don't really know about the fourth member. And I don't know that... I think there was a falling out. I mean, there's a great documentary about Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, it's great. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a falling out between...
I feel like there was... It was four guys and two of them were just kind of there.
Yeah, well, it's good to have a lot of bodies on stage for the
end. I know, and I feel bad because I love Tribe. And like, I feel bad for those other two guys. Well,
one that you don't know is probably the decision maker. Producer.
Oh, like the business... Yeah, maybe he was a business guy. Maybe he did all the deals.
Maybe he did all the booking. You know, you need someone to do that work. That's
right. Fun. Well, hey, listen... Thanks again for being here. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, reallifesci-fi.show for all of our stuff. Just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We will see you next time. Thanks again, Blake. Luxury. Thank you, Luxury.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Bye.